Okay, take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 5, if you will. Luke chapter 5. I want to bring today my life testimony. Many of you folks have never heard it. If you have, I think you really don't know much about a man until you see what he's saved from and how he was raised. And so really all I'd like to do is just open the door of my life today to you folk and let you see what God did in my home and how he saved us. Because I've never gotten over what the Lord did for my home and how he saved me and my loved ones. And I hope that it may be a real challenge to you as you endeavor to bring your friends and your loved ones to Jesus Christ. So let's all stand, please. Luke chapter 5. And look at verse 32, please. Luke 5, 32. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, dear Father, we thank you today for our Savior. We thank you for the wonderful music we've had, Lord. And now we pray for the Holy Spirit of God as we get the testimony. It'll ring true, Father. Magnify the Savior. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was brought up in a small town called Arford, West Virginia. I live so far back in the country that the road ends right in front of our house. The man who owns the land wrote to me many years ago and said, Jerry, I wonder how God ever found you to call you to preach. But regardless of who you are today or where you live, I want you to know that God knows us and God sees us. Psalm 139, 7 through 10 says, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In Genesis 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, Thou God seest me. And I want to show you how God saw our home in West Virginia. The first major problem we had in our home was the problem of alcohol. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now look at me. When the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible means exactly what it states. Now, my grandparents, by the way, my background, my grandfather comes from Russia. He was born in Moscow. My grandmother was also a full-blooded Russian born in Austria. They came in America, settled in West Virginia. One day, someone robbed my grandpa Savinsky, knocked him out, laid him across the railroad tracks in such a position that when the train ran over him, the train cut off both of his arms and both of his legs, and my grandpa bled to death alongside the railroad tracks in West Virginia. Well, my grandmother remarried another Russian, a man who drank all the time, a very wicked, ungodly man, never spoke one word to me ever. One day in a drunken stupor, he went outside. He raised his fist in the air like this. He cursed God in Russian. He defied God to come down and fight him. And when he was dying, my mother and dad were by his bedside. And they said he was screaming as he took his last breath as a drunkard in West Virginia. Well, my mother's parents come from Lithuania, a small country on the Baltic Sea. And my grandparents came here to America, settled in West Virginia, and my grandparents made moonshine for a living. As a matter of fact, my grandmother, during the late 1920s, had over $400,000 in the bank from just making moonshine. Owned valuable land in West Virginia and also in downtown Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Had many houses. But during the Depression, when the banks went under, my grandmother lost all of the money. Lost every piece of land, lost all the homes. You know why? Habakkuk 2:15 says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink." And my grandparents supplied moonshine for a huge area. But my grandmother, at the age of 76, received Christ as her Savior and was baptized at the age of 76. My grandpa Trusco, who never spoke a word of English, got saved in his late 70s. I thank God, regardless of how deep a person may go in sin, Christ can reach down and he can still save them. But in the midst of all this drinking, my father was a man given over to alcohol. Now, my father never drank until he was 25 years of age. And one day, my dad's best friend, Johnny Figueri, came to our home and said to my father, "Mike, take one small glass of wine." My dad said, "Johnny, I don't drink." He said, "Come on, Mike, just take one glass of wine." And my father said to me, "Okay, Johnny, I'll take one glass." And my father told me these exact words. He said, "Jerry, when I took the first glass of wine to my lips, it tasted so good. I said, Johnny, give me another glass." And my father took another glass and another glass until my father became a very heavy drinker. From the time I was just a small boy like that until I was 17 years of age, I saw alcohol raging in our home. I saw what it did to my dad. And I saw the impact it made upon my life and my two brothers. For you see, my godfather, Jack, gave me the wine to drink when I was 7 years of age. My grandparents gave me beer, whiskey, and wine to drink as a teenager. My father himself gave me vodka and golden gin to drink when I was 17 years of age. Is it any wonder my younger brother was a drunk? And my older brother today still drinks? How alcohol is raging in the lives of teenagers and adults as well. It's the number one problem of the American home. Have you ever heard the drunkard's 23rd Psalm? Listen, please. King alcohol is my shepherd. And I shall want, and I mean want. Thou makest me to lie down in mud holes. Thou turnest my automobile upside down. Thou preparest an empty table before my family. Thou anointest my body with wounds, bruises, and sores. Surely, sorrow and grief shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the doomed for all eternity. Whenever the word of God says wine is a mocker, it means exactly what it states. But we not only had the problem of religion, we also had the problem of alcohol, we had the problem of religion. Now look, this is my testimony. I do not know who's here. But before God saved me, all my people, my dad had 15 brothers and sisters, my mother had 4 sisters on both sides. We were Roman Catholics. Okay, now just a moment. That is my testimony. Some of the most sincere people I know are Roman Catholic people, okay? But sincerity is no passport to heaven. And although we had religion, one of my Roman Catholic cousins got saved. And when he got saved, all of my people began to make fun of him. They said, "Have you heard what happened to Forrest?" I said, "No. What's happened to Forrest?" They said, "He's gone crazy over religion." Well, I was 17 years of age, and I loved my cousin Forrest. I really did. And I said, "What do you mean he's gone crazy over religion?" They said, "Jerry, he stopped drinking. He stopped smoking. He's gone crazy over religion." You see, he came to Christ. He got saved. His life was so transformed, they couldn't figure him out. And so one day, my cousin came to my home, and he said, "Jerry, I would like for you to go to church with me this coming Sunday." Now, we always went to one or two different Catholic churches in West Virginia. And so I said to my cousin, I said, "Well, Forrest, where are we going to go?" He said, "Well, Jerry, I'm going to take you to a Baptist church." Look here, congregation. I never heard the word Baptist in my entire life. I turned to my cousin Forrest. I said, Forrest, what is a Baptist church like? He said, Jerry, it's a little different than the Catholic Church. And what an understatement that was, my friend. You see, when I walked into our church, and only those who are raised in a very ritualistic and traditional service, you know, everything's quiet, you know, this music by the organ. And I tell you, I sat down, and when I did, I never heard so much noise in my entire life in church. People were talking out loud. People blowing their nose. People scuffing their feet. I never heard that noise. Everything bothered me until the man of God stood up and began to preach. And when he did look at me, he began to preach in English. And at the age of 17, I never heard the Word of God preached in English in the Catholic Church. And I sat there. And I heard God love me. That God sent Christ to die for my sins. I never heard that. I did not know God loved me. And I was searching as a young man. And I ran home that morning. My mother was a bar lady, by the way. I ran home. I said, Mom, you've got to go to the church. Mom, this guy, that Baptist church, the guy speaks in English. Mom, you've got to go there, Mom. Well, my mother was never in a church like that. My mother said, okay, I'll go, Jerry. And so next Sunday, we go to church. When the man of God began to preach, I didn't look at the man. I wanted to see my mom's response. So I turned and looked at my mom. And when I did, my mother was on the very edge of the chair, taking in the Word of God. She just was absolutely glued as she heard of the great love. We got in the car, began to go home. My mother turned to me and said, Jerry, do you think we ought to go back to that Baptist church next Sunday? I said, yeah, Mom, I think we ought to go back. What do you think? She said, yes, I think we ought to go back. Well, the next Sunday, we got a 2-foot a snowstorm coming West Virginia. Oh, you sissies down here in North Carolina who get that much snow and you panic. We do the same in South Carolina, by the way. And so here we are, Roman Catholics, going through a snowstorm to a Baptist church. And while we're going up the road, my mother turned to me, and these are the exact words she said. She said, Jerry, do you think I should go forward today and get saved? Here I am. I'm not saved. I don't know the Bible. But I turned to my mom, and I said, Mom, I believe you ought to go forward and get saved today. You know what, Pastor? I was a soul winner before Christ saved me. My mother got saved because I encouraged her. Now, look, congregation, the first message I ever preached, I got to tell you about this. In high school, my whole life was the sports world. I played football for a high school, East Furman High School. I played baseball in the outfield. I ran track. I was the fastest runner in the high school. I was the fastest eater in the entire high school. I was also the fastest typist in the high school. I used to get 112 words per minute on a manual typewriter. The thing so sad about that, some of you kids don't even know what a typewriter looks like. And anyhow, my first message, I had typed out word for word, single-spaced, 6 pages on both sides, 8.5 by 11, 6 pages. Single space. The message was entitled, It's Real. When I preached it, it lasted 5 minutes. So I have come a long way so far. It's real. I knew salvation was real. You know why? I saw the change in my mom. A filthy, cursing mouth. The next morning, for the first time in my life, I heard singing. I said, who on earth is in our house singing? And I ran in the kitchen. Here's my mom. I never heard my mom sing ever. Her whole speech, her whole life was changed. It's real. Christ can save you, sir. Hey, lady, Christ can save you. He can change you. And so, next Sunday, my mom and I go to church. My mom sat way in the front of the church. I sat way in the back of the church. The man of God preached a message that morning. And when he did, my mother turned around and looked at me in front of that entire congregation. And my mom went like this toward me. She went, "She want me to go down the aisle." I looked at my mom. I was shocked. I went like that. And mom got more furious. And she's going like this. "She want me to go down the aisle." You know what? I want to go down the aisle. I want to get saved. But I was so shy. I stuttered terribly. But I got home that night. I said, "Dear God, next Sunday, I'll go to church. I'll let Christ save me." Did you hear what I said? I said, "Dear God, next Sunday, I'm going to go to church and let Jesus save me." Here I was, a religious person, crossed myself, prayed every night, was baptized, believed in God, but did not know Christ had died for my sins. And so next Sunday, I went to church, and thank God that night, I said yes to Christ, and I got saved. I ran home, and my dad was my hero. You see, my dad was a bouncer in a tavern. He's the strongest man I knew. My dad was a great hunterman, a great fisherman. He knew everything about trapping. I idolized my dad, and I would never raise my dad. I'd never wake my dad up. My dad's a coal miner, a load machine operator. And I ran to the bedroom door, and for the first time in my life, I knocked as hard as I could. And I woke my dad. My dad said, "What is it, Jerry?" I said, "Dad, I've got to tell you something." He said, "What is it, Jerry?" I said, "Dad, I got saved." And my dad looked at me like I was crazy. He rolled right back over and went to bed. Now, congregation, almost every night, my dad came home walking like this. He was drunk. And that night, he came home from work on Monday. I'd just been saved one day. My dad sat down to eat supper. When he did, I stood on the other side of the table. I pointed my finger, which I never did in my entire life. I pointed my finger at my dad's face. I said, "Dad, look at me." My dad said, "What is it, Jerry?" I said, "Dad, you need to get saved." My dad said, "No, I don't." I said, "Yes, you do, Dad." And I did everything you're not supposed to do to win a man to Christ. But I did not want my dad to die and go to hell. And so my mother and I would talk with my dad almost every night. My dad saw the great change in my life. He saw the great change in my mom's life. We said, "Dad, would you go to church one Sunday with us?" I'll never forget my dad said to me. He said, "I'll go one Sunday." I said, "Dad, that's all we want you to go is one Sunday." My dad went to church that morning, and we were starting revival meetings with Dr. Marvin Lewis from South Carolina. Dr. Marvin Lewis preached the Word of God. The church was packed. And when the man of God gave the invitation, the first man down the aisle was my dad, Mike Savinsky. And the whole church began to weep. You know why? They knew my dad's life. And I stood there and looked at my mom. My mom was absolutely weeping her heart out. But I wonder, could God save a man like my dad? We're talking moonshine, homebrew, vodka, golden gin on a weekly basis. Could God save a man? I said, "We'll know tomorrow night when my dad walks." Congregation, I stood at the window. Look at me. I stood at the window at least a half an hour or longer for one reason. I wanted to see my dad walk when he got that truck. I heard the truck coming down the road. I screamed at my mom. I said, "Mom, Dad's coming." My mother ran to the other window. My dad, I heard the car door, the truck door slam. My dad was going to walk around the truck, come to the house. When he did, he was walking like this. He was sober. He sat down to eat supper. I sat on one side of the table. My mother sat on the other side of the table. And I sat there like this, staring at my dad. Just staring at him. And my dad stopped eating. He looked at me and said, "Jerry, is something wrong?" I said, "No, Dad." Couldn't take my eyes off him. He was sober. I'm telling you, he was sober. Look, my mom. My mom was almost in a trance. She's sitting there. She's watching her husband eat. She's standing, sitting there, staring at him. My dad stopped eating again and said to my mother, "Honey, is something wrong?" My mother couldn't even speak. Her eyes were full of tears. And she just went like this. And then my dad said these exact words. He turned to my mother and said, "Would you bring me your Bible?" I never saw my dad hold the Bible, ever. I saw the bottle. I saw it all the time, every week. And he was drunk as a dog. Most every night during the week, drinking. My dad opened the Bible for the Gospel of John. He began to read the Bible. Never heard my dad read, ever, publicly. He read the Bible and then he turned and said to me, "My mom, would you mind if I prayed?" And my dad prayed. My dad got saved. I called my dad every week of my life, every week. My dad would say to me, "Jerry, are you seeing people saved, son? I love you, Jerry. Praying God to use you, son. How I thank God I saw the power of what Christ can do in a home. Of religion and alcohol. And save a person. But what about my two brothers?" Well, I claim the Bible verse for God to save them. 2 Peter 3:9, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, I want you to realize, God does not want you to perish if you're unsaved. He loves you. You are the object of God's love. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He'd love to save you. And I have voiced that verse to my two brothers. My younger brother Dennis lived in the state of Pennsylvania. And I told my brother, "Call me and call me Collects. Anytime, call me Collects." My brother Dennis would call me Collect. 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, either Saturday or Sunday morning, always drunk. Always called me Collects. I said, "Dennis, I love you, son. I'm praying for God to save you, Dennis." I got so concerned about him that I called a good friend of mine, Dr. Bob Jordan, up in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, many years ago. I said, "Brother Bob, I'd like to have someone go and see my brother Dennis up in Hazleton, Pennsylvania." He said, "Jerry, we will do that for you." Well, that summer, I was home in Star, and you know, I'm running to the house, and the phone rang, and I picked the phone. I said, "Hello?" And the person said, "Hello, who is this?" I said, "Well, this is Jerry Savinsky. Who's calling?" He said, "Jerry, this is your brother Dennis." I couldn't believe it. He did not call me Collects. And he was sober. I could tell by his voice. I was so shocked. I said, "Dennis, why are you calling me?" He said, "Jerry, you know that preacher you sent by to see me?" I said, "Yeah." "He just left my house. I'm calling you because he just led me to Jesus Christ." That summer, for the first time in years, my brother Dennis and I sat down, and my brother said these exact words. He said, "Jerry, I was drinking a half a gallon of whiskey a day." My brother died. I thank God I showed love to him, that I prayed for him. What about my older brother Mike? Still unsaved. But I love him. Pray for him every day. That God will save him. God's not willing that any should perish. You've got people here in this area. You know that I don't know. You've got loved ones without Christ. You've got to show them love. You've got to show them Christ is the answer. They've got to come to him. And if that's you today, young man, you've got to come to Christ. You're not going to find peace in alcohol, drugs, immorality, or anything else. You've got to come to Christ. And I pray that you as a young man or an adult, you'll come and let Christ save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.